Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. And buckle up, because this isn't just any Sunday episode. This is our 250th Sunday episode. That's right. 250 Sundays of swooning, shipping, and side-eyeing questionable plot twists. Honestly, we can't decide what's more impressive, the milestone or the size of our TBR pile. And joining me for this episode is Leah. Hello, Leah.
Hello, Becky.
And Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Heather. Hello, Heather.
Hello, everyone.
Okay, so before we came on, we were talking about the new Netflix series. What's it called?
Ransom Canyon.
Ransom Canyon.
And we were all sharing our love of Josh Duhamel, which... Mm-hmm. So Leah was in the middle of telling a story and I made her be quiet so that we could come live and start the episode. And she is literally going to burst if she doesn't get to tell us this story.
That is not true. I got over it very quickly. No, I was just saying how Timothy Olyphant, who looks very similar to Josh Duhamel, is hotter. But he was telling, I was watching an interview, I think he was on Jimmy Fallon, and he took a, Josh Duhamel took a picture with Timothy's family, and his mom was like, why are you so tall in that picture? She didn't realize it wasn't him. And Josh Duhamel is a little taller than Timothy Olyphant. He's like, because it's not me.
That's pretty funny.
Anyway, so how did everyone have a lovely weekend?
We did have a good weekend.
Yeah. Did you eat a lot of chocolate
and food today? And I feel like I'm going to explode still.
See, we had smash burgers for dinner and
we had bacon.
Jenny fed her children bacon. That is like big holiday food at the Meyer household.
Just a pile of bacon. No,
we had pancakes and eggs too, but that's yummy.
But there was bacon. There's a lot of bacon. You do not understand. Did you not hear the story at Thanksgiving? From my house?
I did, yes.
Children,
which makes me laugh.
We're dying because they're like, can we have that? And I'm like, it's for the Brussels sprouts. And they're like, oh. I'm like, I'll make you some bacon. So I made bacon for Jenny's children for Thanksgiving.
They didn't make their day.
I mean, bacon makes everything better. So,
it was $5 off because it was expiring this week. So I got some bacon.
That's amazing. Bacon can be really freaking expensive.
Yeah. And you can freeze it.
Your bacon and your eggs, it's like highway robbery. Right?
Anyway. In my little welcome, I talk about the size of our TBR piles. Mm-hmm. So, buckle up, friends.
We have to talk about that.
Buckle up, because we're going to blow it up some more tonight.
We are.
Also, I blew up my own and Jenny's today. I came across some new authors while I was doing my research. So, we got stuff to talk about.
You were sending me covers and I was just saying how much I didn't like
them. She's like, I hate that. I was like, okay, but the book sounds interesting.
No, but you like the cover, too.
I did like the cover, but it didn't
feel like it doesn't matter. They don't have eyes.
Well, because it's like her back and his head is profile to her face. So you can't tell if they have eyes or not, you know? Kind of like that Maggie Gates cover that we all are kind of on the fence about.
Yeah.
That, you know, because his hat's down. So you can't tell if he has eyes or not.
But he has a hat. This guy doesn't have a hat. He just had hair. I said I like the concept. The execution just was a little lacking.
I get it. It's fine. So on this episode, to mark the occasion of 250 Sunday episodes, we're doing what we do best, hyping up the romance authors who seriously deserve more love. This week, we're spotlighting underrated authors currently in KU. The ones quietly delivering all the feels, spice, and book boyfriends we didn't know we needed, but now we can't live without. So grab your favorite drink and open up the KU app or your TBR and get ready to fall in love with some authors who are way overdue for their moment in the spotlight. This was hard, to be honest, to start with.
Yeah,
I agree.
Because I really, for me personally, I tried really hard not to pick authors that I think are underrated that more people should be reading, but we talk about all the time. You know, like,
yeah, tough.
That was hard.
I talk about Carrie Elks all the time. I don't think enough people pay attention to her books, obviously, but like, it wouldn't make sense, you know, and we've done quick shots. We've talked about her books on Sip and Discuss, and she does rank fairly often. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't make sense for us to be like, oh, you should be reading her. But then I was looking and I was thinking, Melissa Foster, we talk about her a lot, but she's one that typically is wide, but has started to put role series in and out.
Well, but she has her Montlake stuff that's in KU too, though.
But she also, not the Redemption Ranch ones, but the Steels.
Her whiskey, she is starting to start rolling those, yeah.
Yeah, so, and then, you know, like we have Sawyer Bennett. She's put her Sugar Bowl series, which is a dark romance, and her Formula One are now in Kindle Unlimited. But she's not a typical
Kindle Unlimited.
Yeah.
Well, but then we have authors like Delta James, who is very prolific and like usually like gets a bestseller. She doesn't always stay in the charts, but she mm-hmm. is constantly rolling her series in and out of KU.
Yeah.
Because she does like, she has like a rolling calendar. So it's like there is at least one Delta James series in KU at all times.
And Susan Stoker too. She traditionally has a few, but I think she's rolling more.
Well, her Montlake were the only ones in KU previously. And so, but she has started rolling her wide series. So she does like the 90 day. And then like there's a little bit of overlap, but she's going to start rolling everything.
Okay.
Since
it's Claudia Bergoa has started, well, her new series is now in Kindle Unlimited. And I think her Kentbury series, which is a series of novellas, is now in Kindle Unlimited.
I think that one is in there.
Also, so she's one that rolls, and it makes it hard because people don't talk about them enough. But I also don't think, because, you know, we talked about this last week, talked about it the week before, you know, it's getting harder and harder to grab wide books from our libraries because the libraries aren't spending the money and adding to their digital collections. Well, they don't have it.
But it's one of those things we've talked about too, is like some of the they're smaller indie authors, unless you request it and you have enough requests at that library, the library is not going to get that book anyway. So it doesn't matter like whether the library can afford it or not. It's whether or not there's enough interest in a book for them to spend the money on it.
So how did we define the underrated author? So let's talk about our criteria before we get into this episode. So what were kind of some of the parameters like you personally use? Like, I gave you guys rules. I'm like, can't really be someone that's sitting in the charts right now.
Do you know I took those rules and just ignored them?
Oh, that was a rule, the null chart
thing?
Didn't see that.
Well, I did. Like Amazon did Top 100, the main storefront.
I did look at the chart when I was making my list, and if somebody that is on my list is in one of the charts currently, I did take them off. Because usually, like, I talk about Brynn a lot, and I think she is a very underrated author, but book one of her Agent series is in the charts right now, so it's like, I'll take her off begrudgingly.
Well, the only thought was, is if they are charting, they obviously have a readership, right?
Yeah, we might somebody's have seen them, yeah.
Somebody's seen them, they might have had a small viral moment. You know, we can look at author Tyler Page. We did some work for her, and her book Slasher Pass has had moments where it's in the top. It's like it hit number one in the all-time all over Amazon Kindle store at one point. But she's underrated because it was a very quiet viral moment that happened for her. Mm-hmm. She doesn't spend any money on marketing.
Well, and it hasn't been a continual thing. Right. Like, it's there and then it like disappears. It doesn't disappear, but it disappears from the church. And then like it kind of like pops in and out, but it's not a steady thing in there.
And like we all know that like Nicole Fox, not a lot of people talk about her, but she's got a readership because she's always in the top 100. Nadia Lee. People don't really talk about her, but her books are always sitting in the top 100 Amazon. So my goal was saying not sitting in the charts was to kind of find those authors that hasn't even really found a readership yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of mine is in here. Well, shoot.
You can still, you know what? Do we ever pay attention to the rules? There's suggestions, Heather.
I had a whole system.
Well, tell us about your system, Jenny.
Yes. Tell us more, Jenny.
I went through my Goodreads. I clicked on who I thought was underrated, went to their Amazon like author page, and then like sorted by popularity. And like if the first four books were not in any of the top 100 Kindle, they were okay. And they couldn't have like their letter stuff like on their blurb thing.
Yeah. Like, well, I did look so that it wasn't USA Today or New York Times, because there's a couple I came across that I had never heard of, but have but their letters.
Huh. I found so many people that just like fell off the face of the planet.
Really?
Oh, thinking of falling off the face of the planet. You know how the other day you said something about Maya Hughes?
Yes.
I got a newsletter from her last week.
Oh, is she going to write some more?
Well, they moved to Ireland, I guess, also.
Mm.
I mean, I would fall off the planet if I had to move to Ireland. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
If you got to move to Ireland, you mean? Not had to. Got to.
They want to. Yes. There was like a reason. But yeah, so it was really ironic. And then I totally forgot to message you because I opened it and I read it. I was like, oh, I got to text Jenny. And then I got distracted. So.
That's fair.
Squirrel. Squirrel.
Okay. So I sort of went through my list and was like, I really like this author. I haven't read them in a hot minute. Went through my Goodreads, but then also checked Amazon to see like just how many books they have like for a backlist,
mm-hmm.
And then like how many reviews. So like this one I'm talking about, like I feel like 518 is a fair amount of reviews, but this author has 153 titles. Like that's a fair amount of backlist,
that's
right?
That's a fair amount of backlist.
That's a lot.
That's a good backlist.
And like this author consistently, well it's B.B. Hamill.
Yeah.
So B.B. Hamill consistently is putting out books and in like multiple series. Like I think that's what makes her great. So like
she was on my list too. She was on my list.
Maybe you find because it's mafia and she doesn't write mafia light and she can write spice. And her heroines are very strong.
I actually think that if you like Jill Ramsauer,
you would like B.B. Hamill.
You would really like B.B. Hamill.
Totally. Well,
and like, so her books, like when they first come out, a lot of times are in the chart. Mm-hmm. Like they'll chart when they first come out, but they don't stay up there. It's like 1 or 2 days and then they fall off.
But also, we have to say this because I need people to know this. So if you're looking at the top 10 in the Amazon 100 for the whole store, and you're looking and see like Megan Quinn or Claire Kingsley, I need you to know that many of those authors, particularly the first 10 days of a release, are spending on average $10,000 a day on ad buy.
That's insanity.
I need you guys to know this, that really... Now, the trad books are a little different, right? Because they do their ad buy differently. Their ad buy is a more wider market. It's going to be in blogs and websites and placement, other places. So I'm talking about indie authors in the top 10 on Amazon, on average, are spending $10,000 a day to be in that top 10. And it is a pay to play. So when an author like Tyler Page made it to number one in the Amazon store, she didn't buy anything. That was truly a viral moment. But as we all know, you can pay for a viral moment. So I don't have a problem with saying B.B. Hamill because she's an excellent mafia author.
Yep.
And she might be there for 1 or 2 days because she did a blog tour or she did like some marketing buy or some Facebook ads and got up into that, you know, top 50, top 100. And that's truly like an organic. That was the release push. She might be spending a little bit here and there on ad buys, but she is not spending $10,000.
If she was, though, you would come across those sponsored posts often.
More often.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, there are authors that, like, I constantly am seeing sponsored posts either on Facebook or Instagram. Like, they're... Or even like in my Amazon like feed.
You can't even go three books down. Like, even if you search a title.
Sponsored.
Yeah.
Yeah. Three books down, sponsored. Even if you're searching on your Kindle for a title, you know, you'll be scrolling through something, because earlier today I came across Stella Moore. She writes super kinky books. If you like Daisy Jane, these books you would absolutely love. She writes a lot with Golden Angel. She writes a lot of plus size curvy heroines. I came across one called My Daddy's Hugh Cow. And I was...
And you downloaded it instantly.
Yeah.
I've actually read it. And... I went to download it and I'd already read it.
And Heather's already read it. So
on Valentine's Day, Avi.
Whoa. But when I went looking for her on my Kindle and was searching her name, there were like, and that title, there were other titles that didn't, like the latest Meghan Quinn came up as a sponsored book in that search. One of these Those things is not the like the other.
Right? Like that's what's so frustrating is like you're searching and then it's like,
like you're looking for something specific, like in a specific genre or subgenre or kink even, and then something completely the other direction goes through.
Yeah, but it's I think that I thought Daisy Jane's books were okay. But I like Stella Moore's. I've read has like the Cherry Daddy auction or Cherry Poppin' auction that she wrote with Golden Angel. They did a Kickstarter together. And those books are really great. I loved them. So I thought they were better
on
written.
The shorter side too, but they're very well like created books. They're very like she's a strong writer and she understands the kinks and treats them with the right rules and care.
Yes.
Because that's something too.
So that's so I just needed to clarify that sometimes that top 10, even top 25, we're going to assume that those are kind of, especially in indie,
skewed.
Those are kind of bought and paid for a little bit.
But here's the deal. Like, I also feel like because she, and I'm talking about Bebe Hamel, she has so many different kinds of mafia families. Like, if you feel like you want to go on a mafia dive, I mean, you could start there because she's got so many different.
She does have a lot of different styles.
I really liked her books. I really, really enjoy her books.
Me too.
The other one, well, when you and I did, see, we're already off track. Anyway, when you and I did our mafia episode, when I found Bebe Hamel, I also found Rebecca Gannon. And I really liked her mafia stuff too.
I haven't read her in a while.
They are also kind of in line with Jill Ramshauer, not quite as dark as Zoe Blake, but definitely like if you like Kylie Kent, definitely not as bonkers. Kylie Kent, like kind of.
It was bonkers. So Misha Stone and Ava Winter is a similar. They aren't. Oh, they're
like Misha Stone.
Yeah, like
too.
Medium mafia. Yeah. Like, you know, they're
those
not
Ava
so
Winter's books are. Those really are bonkers. Good. They're so good, but they're unhinged. Wow. Like the one I read, like no joke, in the first chapter, he plays Russian roulette with his wife. And then wonders why he can't find her for 3 years.
But isn't she like kind of a piece of garbage though?
No, she's good.
Oh, she's good.
No, Russian. I thought she's...
She was very good, and he did not believe his dad when he said, I don't think that she did this. And so he did that and she ran away and he couldn't find her. Nobody was surprised by this, but there's a lot like consent is sometimes a little questionable in those books. And also there's a lot of kidnapping and forced marriages. As
I was just going to say there's right kidnapping, arranged marriage, and there's some. Yeah.
I found a new author for you though, Heather.
Oh, good. Yes.
Poppy Fitzgerald, Stray. I read the first three chapters. It's adult dark romance with dark themes of betrayal, stalking. There is off page, not by the hero to the heroine, essay mentioned,
okay,
and kidnapping.
Mm-hmm. What
Stray?
Did she get kidnapped by the hero or?
Yes, okay. Yes. Stray by Poppy a Fitzgerald.
Stray? It's a stray.
A stray. Sorry, I thought it was stray.
I mean, it's just one letter.
Poppy Fitzgerald's the author. I came across this one and I thought, oh, this might be a great book for Jen Ellen and Heather.
Oh, yeah. Jen Ellen, if you're listening.
It's a little bonkers.
Because Jen Ellen does like the bonkers books.
She does like.
Thinking of bonkers, I read the new Zoe Blake that she mentioned in the Discord.
I have it on my Kindle to read tonight. It's my reward.
It's really good.
For getting all my. Did you see on the website all my reviews that I got done?
No, because I did not have, I did not touch, I read a couple, like I read part of a book today and that was the only like internet like, that I went on to. But no, it was good. I really enjoyed it. It's so good.
Okay. Well, wait, is okay.
Poor Jenny is just sitting there like, hi, I'm here.
She's like, I actually just jump in, Jenny. We have gone off track. So talk to us about, give us someone who's underrated.
Well, and, yeah, I am not.
We're off track.
My books are like rom-com.
Well, let's go there.
Quirky. Oh. Yeah.
Yes. Let's go quirky. I gave you a new STEM author today.
Yes, you did.
I did. Well, so a STEM author that Jenny and I love, and I must caveat it, I do work for her, is author Emmy Leone.
Yes, so because I was going to put her on my list.
She's definitely underrated.
Yes.
And should be read more.
If you liked Allie Hazelwood, I really feel like Emmy Leone, these are funnier, quirkier, really into the science of it. They work within the pharmaceutical, lots of lab, you know.
Yeah, and they're old. They're adults. Like, they're not in college. So,
well, they mature adults at that.
Yeah, they have, like, been in their career for a while and know their stuff. And, yes.
I mean, except for the first idiots. But...
the first book that Leah and I did a quick shot on. She is not so smart or makes bad decisions.
Oh, the first book of Emmy Leone's?
Yeah.
Is that the one where she like does the Instagram and gets all the like secret formula on Instagram and flips out?
Yeah, and then like there's an emergency situation with her living arrangements.
Right.
Like, she's smart, but she has zero common sense.
But her best friend in that book
is
he perfection. And his husband are perfection and the big ugly portrait that he gives her.
What's his pet? He has like a
sugar glider.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah,
so I was gonna say a flying squirrel.
So
I mean, it's essentially a flying squirrel.
New author that I sent to Jenny today, this is a duet. Book two comes out on the 24th, Thursday. So book one is called The Desire Variable. It is by Anna D'Arcy.
Mm-hmm.
And book two is called The Passion Parameter. It's the Binary Hearts duet.
Yes, I was like, oh, it's so nerdy.
And I love it.
Like, I read the series called Binary Hearts, and my only thought was, Jenny.
Yes, that's so me. Because, yes, I miss my STEM life. And yeah.
So, what other quirky rom coms? Because I have quirky rom coms on my list too.
Like Stacey Hart was one of the first ones I thought of. She took a break for a while. But her books are always a little like just a little quirky and got like that fun.
Like strong heroines too. Like that's the thing. Like they're not, I mean, yes, sometimes they make stupid decisions, but at the same rate, like so do her heroes, but like they're very like they're set in like their professions, like they're not like they might be struggling emotionally, but they're not struggling like job wise or things like that, so like they're very like mature also.
Another quirky one, and we talk about her all the time, but I do feel like she doesn't get enough attention, and that's Krista Sandor.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
100%.
Yeah. She writes like funny, and today is 420, and she is from Colorado, and that is all I can say because I don't want YouTube to get mad at me. But I'm just saying, like, if you think that's funny, she does that stuff, and it's funny.
She does.
In her books.
Yeah.
I just will never look at funnel cake again. Like, when I get a funnel cake at the fair, like, I want to hold it.
Well, honestly, like I was eating gummy bears today and I was thinking of what the date was, and it made me think of Kristen. I was like laughing really hard to myself.
And she's like, her books are funny, but she's funny in person and she's so kind. And I, kindness goes a long way in the
Wait
world,
till
I
you
tell you.
read her
Honestly,
next book,
oh, her
Heather.
new book, it's first person. It is like so
It's
funny. But
called
honestly, she's one of
Two
those.
Booths and a Lie, and he's
She's.
a retired
But
hockey
she.
player that's trying to get into journalism.
It's really good.
And fake
But she
dating.
is one of those
Thrifty.
people, it's almost like obnoxious, like how kind she is, because she's like honestly like that. And it's not a front.
It really
But we love
isn't.
her so
She's
much.
so sweet.
Did you have Leah on your list? Angela Casella, her rom-coms?
I did have Angela Casella because she writes a whole bunch of rom-coms. She does co-write with Denise Grover Swank every once in a while, also, who, like, she also is an author. I don't know if she is KU or not, but she is an author that is underrated
Their
as well.
co-written stuff is in Kindle
The
Unlimited.
co-written stuff is, and then Angela's solo stuff is in KU.
Okay,
But yeah,
next
she
quirky romance, Jenny.
quirky romances, fun heroines, like some ridiculous antics that happen. But yeah, I did have her on my list as well.
Okay, what do you
I
got?
got one.
Oh, go for quirky. We're going for quirky here.
Well, I wouldn't say this is quirky, but this author has 214 titles. Layla Hagen.
Oh, yeah.
She has like big family series and like in like large cities, and her heroines are some of her heroines are quirky and some of them aren't. And I really like her, and I totally forgot about
She's a really
her.
good mac and cheese author.
And I think what happens with her is, in my opinion, she releases a book about once a month, every 6 weeks.
It's about every 6 weeks, I think.
And so it becomes, if you aren't
You
staying
can't
up
catch
on
up.
it, you
You
don't
cannot
catch
keep up.
up. But I will say, like, I still think of that Bennett family series. She has a heroine in that Bennett family series, which was her first ever series. Poppy was the name of the sister, the first sister. It's like the first three books are the brothers, and then the sister gets a book. She's so fierce and so like, shut up. I'm in charge here. You boys are dumb. And I love her, but she writes big, complicated family. They're messy because they're in each other's business. But
Well, but sometimes the family dynamics are messy too.
Yeah,
So it
and
really
like
kind
I
of depends
think
on which series you're in, like how messy things can be.
like meddling grandmas and like all the good stuff
I
that
do
we
like a
like,
meddling
you know what I
grandma.
mean? And so I think she might have some in a different language, which is why she has so many.
Many.
So she has some Spanish,
But she
but
writes
she's very
long
prolific
series, though.
anyway.
Yeah. Is she in KU,
She
like
is.
all of her series?
Yeah.
Okay. Because when I first started reading
She
her, I
wasn't.
was still like, yeah, she
I
was
think
not.
she made the jump in like two, 2020,
It's been a few
2019.
years,
Like,
yeah.
remember when a bunch of authors went to KU? I think she was in that move because that's when like Natasha Madison moved over, Aurora
When
Rose
Aurora moved
Reynolds moved
over.
over. I think that Layla was in that same grouping. So if we're talking family series, do you have a family series, Jenny?
Amelia Flynn, Finn. She's an Australian author. She has a huge backlist and she has a really big fan base, but she never really makes it like out of the top 20. Yeah, she's just really good at like
She's in Mafia right now too.
Yes, she is. But she's really good at the like family with a hint of suspense.
Nice.
She has actually been on my TBR for a really long time, but it's one of those
Yeah,
things
she's
where I'm like,
another like long, like she does like
you gotta
10
delve
books
into
and
it.
then there's the next gen and like
Yeah.
it just going forever.
Another family series and another family series author that we don't really talk about a ton, and it's both family and found family. I feel like we talk about her a ton, but really we don't. And that's Jacinda Wilder.
Oh yeah. I haven't read her for a while.
I love her books. I loved the bads. Then we got the cousins that were the goods, and now we're back to the bads. She's starting a second gen on the bads.
Yeah. That one just came out, the first one in that series. Her and Jack have been writing like
you talk about truly kind people. Like, they came to book club. They were so genuine, so kind, so funny. Really, it just, yeah, I adore the two of them.
The Dad Bod series is so good.
Actually, that was the very first quick shot I ever did with Becky.
Was it really?
It's one of the Dad Bod series, yeah.
Well, and it's now in KU. It wasn't, I bought the whole series, but it is the Dad Bod series.
Yeah, so they actually dropped a lot into KU.
Well, and that like they're doing the series,
wide release and then moving over to KU.
I think the great thing about that Dad Bod series is none of them, the dads, are typical like 6'10" with abs, and they all like the one guy that makes the cabinets, they own a construction business together, and the one guy that makes the cabinets is like really tall, skinny, and lanky, and they all make fun of him because he's so skinny. But they are like, if especially if you like a really protective hero that is thoughtful in how they approach their heroine. Like, Jenny, did you read this series?
I read a couple. I didn't read all of them.
This is like a Jenny series with all the crossing all the T's there for Jenny.
Well, they're kind of messy too.
Yeah, the Club Sin books look real good.
Yeah.
Those ones are very good.
Those are very good.
The last one is coming out. Next.
TBR is mad. Right.
Lash is the last one in that series, and I think it comes out next week.
This is what happened, way, Heather. Like,
as a side note, don't plan grad parties. They're stupid. Just don't have your kids graduate. Just awesome.
Or have your children who are so not interested in socializing with other people. Except Sydney, for her 18th birthday, we had a birthday party for her. And it was her friends and their, you know, like her best friends and their parents. And then she invited the Gunkles and Gunkle David's best friend, Allison, and her husband came, who we had met twice. But she and Sydney bonded over mushrooms, and not like that you eat mushrooms, but like the cottage core, like, you know, toadstool mushrooms and crocheting. And so and then her godparents and her family. And that was like, that was her birthday party for 18, because it was very Sid. It was a very Sid birthday party. Only people she liked. That was it.
I mean, it's your party.
No, don't.
Yeah, seriously. going back to rom-com. So Tana Fenske has like family series. I actually was looking. She dropped a whole bunch of stuff into KU.
Because she didn't used to be in KU.
She did not used to be KU, but there's a lot of stuff of hers in KU now.
Okay.
I really enjoy her series.
Tana
Fenske, Fenske.
Another one, she's newer on the scene in the last year, Kendall Hale. She writes family sports series, and then she has another family series that's in there. Erin Nicholas, Small Town. So let's go to Small Town. Jenny, you got Small Town?
Those are Small Town.
So Erin Nicholas writes,
like, she has
Small
some in
Town.
New Orleans, but a lot of like, but most of hers are Small Town.
Well, the segue was complicated family series to Small Town. Because that's kind of what Erin writes. Like, and you talk about a messy grandparents and Erin Nicholas.
I love them so
much. The Landry grandpa and grandma, they in your business.
Heather, what are you doing over there?
Oh, I have a crabby 14-year-old that I'm telling I love when he goes to bed.
Time for him to go to bed. Okay, so who do you have for Small Town?
I have Hazel James and Allie Winters. So a lot of my authors are also Smarty Pants authors, but I read them before they became Smarty Pants authors. It just happened that.
But
like,
I think Smarty Pants is such a niche, rollout that I don't think that it.
Because I thought of Jiffy Kate too.
Yeah.
Well,
me too.
And that's Penny's like initiative, right? Is to try to boost those authors that need a little hand up, kind of like. I think she calls it an incubator, like, because her plan is to, like, get these authors the education and
Well, but you figure
visibility that they need, and then like.
But when she does her contests, like whoever wins the contest, like their book is published, and they typically have never published before. Like Nancy Wen, like her first book was a Smarty Pants book.
Her only book.
Well, she has two.
But they're both Smarty Pants books.
Yeah. Yes. And she is writing. She's just.
Well, she has a day job.
And
she's young kids.
And I think
that's the thing. I don't feel like the Smarty Pants counts in the, like, I mean, it totally counts as being an author. That's not what I meant, but it doesn't count as like
I don't think that makes them, I think it makes them underrated a little bit again, because they're in this niche.
It's all small authors that publish with her too.
Yeah.
At least when they start. I mean, they do sometimes, like, they grow, like, while they're writing with Smarty Pants. Because even Nora Everly, like, she got that pub deal with that Cozy
Fall group. Yeah.
Cozy Fall one. But, like, she was writing in Smarty Pants.
Well, and you have people like Juliet Cross did write in Smarty Pants, but she entered into the Smarty Pants universe before the Stay a Spell blew up.
Well, it just took a while. Contemporary in Smarty Pants, and everything that blew up was all PNR too.
Yeah. And you had Kilby Blades. Kilby Blades wrote for her and then got a trad deal.
Lauren Connolly also. She has contemporary, but she does PNR also.
So I will say any of those Smarty Pants authors, I think, qualify.
Yeah.
I think for sure.
And, definitely just go back and check out their backlist too. Because Hazel James, she's friends with Allie Styles, which I talk about her all the time.
Yeah.
Her books are also in KU, but like her non-Smarty Pants books are very emotional. She definitely draws from like personal experience in her life. So it's like you can feel that genuine like connection with the characters. And then her Smarty Pants book was the like Amazing Race type of book, and it was just nice to see like a different side of her, and it was fun.
Heather, do you have a small town?
Kinda. I'll give you they often write in pairs. Lucy Lennox and May Archer.
Oh, Lucy Lennox she's on my list.
So they write MM and Small Town, and they're just really great reads. I love their characters. They, and I met them in Denver, and they are so kind. Again, I am a big fan of people who are genuine and kind. And I just really like their books. They're sort of like feel good reads. They're not a lot of angst, or like it's more external angst. So I like them a lot.
Leah, what do you have for Small Town?
So I have, and it's an author that I talk about a lot, but nobody is reading her. Jennifer Hanks. She does Small Town. It's suspense. Like her original series was the.
Is that the one? Jenny picked up?
No, Jenny read the J.E. Parker book, which she's on my list too, also Small Town, but she will break you.
That's what Jenny was like, I'm not the same anymore.
And I'm like, Bally? I was like.
No, she is also on my list. So Jennifer Hanks and J.E. Parker are two authors that people need to read more.
So
J.E. Parker, like she writes emotional.
So would you say she's in line with like we just got off book club last week or last night. So like Brittany Cherry breaks you. Would you say J.E. Parker?
Does she ever?
Yes. I would say J.E. Parker.
So if you're in need of a good cry or some emotional or to see if you still have feelings while the world is on fire, apparently you should read J.E. Parker.
Maybe we should make Jenny or Amanda read one of her books.
See if she can cry. We can all
see if she can cry.
You guys are mean.
To like a live stream of her reading a book.
You guys,
that would be so
you like see those like bookstagrammers that like film themselves reading a book like in fast time?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
No.
I don't need to see it. I just want to know if it happened.
So,
those two.
Small Town that I think that more people should read, Lauren Morrell, Morrell, like the mushroom. She writes Small Town. The first book was really good. I read the second book and I really, really enjoyed it. And she's just not a name anybody talks about. And I really did like the book, especially if you get kind of, if you liked Maggie Gates, Small Town, I think you would like Lauren. She really builds the town out. She's not as funny, quirky as like Lucy Score, but there are some funny like meat disasters moments you're like, okay, people.
It's like subtle quirkiness, though. Yeah. It's like quirkiness that you're not expecting.
Yeah.
At least I really like the Lauren. Ones that I've read by her.
Okay, who else has Small Town? Do we have any more Small Towns?
Kinda.
Go, Heather.
Max Walker.
Oh.
Oh my God. Yeah. I just love him and his books. He writes lots of suspense, and he has a new urban fantasy series. I picked it up. It's been sitting in my Kindle Unlimited.
Lindsay loves it.
And people love it.
Mm-hmm. Lindsay, like, did you see he's writing a multi-author cowboy series with M.A. Wardell, who is our May book club author, Max, AJ, and is it Cleo Evans that's also writing with them in that group?
I think there's five of them. You just named like all of my, like, if they write it, I read it.
Yeah. Like, I cannot wait for, and I'm really sad that, because his cowboy, Matt, M.A., his cowboy book does not come out until end of June or something.
Yeah.
And I really wanted it for book club for May, and he just kind of laughed at me. When I'm like, do you want to give us all copies? And he's like, no, I want you to read it when it comes out. And I'm like,
you're like, well, you're no fun.
Right? Like, there has to be some benefit.
You should tell him it's my birthday.
I'll tell him. Well, you can tell him that it's your birthday.
So here's the deal. I love how Max writes the suspense. Like, I think he picks up on things in his writing. Like, that's one of the things that I've noticed, is that he picks up on, or he writes about details that, like, some female authors don't. Like, as he's looking at a, like, if you're at a restaurant, let's say, he picks up on different things and writes about different things that the male characters notice. So it's just interesting.
Yeah. Another small town that I don't feel like enough people talk about is Walker Rose.
Mm-hmm.
She is also in KU. And I think that she's, especially if you like the Elsie Silver books, mm-hmm. like if you like that Western vibe, then you should be reading Walker Rose.
We obviously cannot go a whole episode without talking about this author.
I said Carrie Elks to start things off, just so we got it out of the way.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Okay, do we have... Oh, I have two more small towns.
I have three.
I got one.
Okay, Jenny, what do you got for small town? Oh, and then we'll go to Lee. I'm sorry.
Okay, I have Albany Archer. She only has like three books. The one I read was like Davis Design. And it was like a big city rich girl that got like stuck, like sent to the small town. And like at first I was like, I don't know about this, but she did really well at like creating the town and the family. And now, like, I think she has a day job. So I'm like,
this is when you slide slyly into DMs and be like, miss, ma'am, person, I like
can
your
you
book.
Your job?
Could you write more?
Yeah. I can't pay you, but
I would you'll pay her when you buy the book, but you know.
There you go.
That's not even a dozen eggs anymore. Leah, what do you have?
So Hadley Finn, she has a small town, like it's a family series. They own a ranch, and I mean ranches are typically small town because you can't really live on a ranch in a big city. But it's a family series. She had written a book in Susan's Operation Alpha World and kind of branched the family out from that. She is writing a new series, and I'm very excited about that. And then I also have Lee Curran, who does small town. Very like intricate like storylines, in the sense where there's a lot of like working pieces that you find out like after, like as the book progresses. But she very well done characters, very mature characters. I just really enjoyed everything I read by her so far.
Also, can we go back to Hadley Finn? Her covers for the Ranger series are amazing.
Yeah, she actually just redid those like last month, I think, because she had man covers before, but she got new covers. But she's doing this whole new series that so there was that Prolific Works like novella
Oh, yeah.
grouping that came out, and so like she had one in that, and like you meet the family that's gonna be like the new series. Like I'm super excited because she hasn't written a book for a while. Because I do think she has a job. Not that writing is not a job, that came out wrong.
Well, she has a day job, and writing isn't her day job.
And like she does like do edits like for other authors as well. I know that. But I think like her writing just she hasn't had the time to do it. But I'm really, really excited about her new stuff.
So you talked about family and meeting a family. I asked over on Threads for authors you think are underrated. And just to caveat this, I'm just going to say this because I'm feeling some petty pants.
I saw it today and I was like,
if you, well, that was something else. If you're going to wreck books on our podcast post, you know, maybe follow the account, especially if you're doing self-recs as an author. And also maybe make sure that, you know, it's a romance because it's right there in our name.
Yeah.
Like, anyway, not that the people listening care, but that was really annoying to me.
Yeah, because I was like,
And a white, an old white man told me, he goes, well, there is a romance in it. And I just wanted to be like, so the couple is front and center and the romance is the main plot of the book? Because it was historical fiction or something.
Yeah, it was and it was.
And I'm just, anyway. I read the first seven chapters of this book, and I'm going to finish this. It's Creed by Nadea Ray, and it's the King family saga. And when I tell you, you guys, look this up right now, Heather. It's Creed, and it's
I'm
her last
sure
name
you
is spelled.
Sent this to all
no,
of
I think
us.
You. I think it just went to the you, me, and Amanda.
Look at that cover. Look at those
Creed.
Shoulders.
Who is it?
Creed by Nadea.
Just look up Creed.
Apostrophe Dia. Last name Ray. Rae. Are we looking at those shoulders? Like, I didn't.
You got the oh my. She's looking. Heather is gone now. She is
she's just gone, right?
Yeah,
anyway, this
I'm down.
Reader named Amara sent me a list of authors to try, and I shared the thread. She sent me like a gothic horror erotica, and the way that she describes and recommended these books, like
it made you want to read them.
Yeah. Sharae Lewis, her writing, she's a writing beast. Her third person POV is just so smooth. Her pen is addictive. This Saint by Ray Anderson has a plain, straightforward lyricism to her writing. You know how we feel about that, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say this. Kanasim, Kanasim. By Takara. It talks about...
Unless the case silent.
Yeah.
Yeah, she talks about how the way she writes it feels like a movie.
Ooh, I like that.
Right? So anyway, I'm telling you guys, like, my own personal TBR blew up. I also found Sienna Trapp.
I stopped replying, Becky, because she sent me too many.
So here's what I did. This is so... So I just hit the magnifying glass on Instagram. And when a graphic looked interesting to me, I clicked on it. And then I, you know, so most of the times it was authors. So I would go over and look at their stuff. And then I'd look up their name on Amazon. And then I'd be like, huh, this looks really interesting. So like the Sienna Trapp, she writes the Rust Canyon books. Made me think of that new Netflix series with Josh Duhamel. And this one is, at 18, I left my hometown in the rearview mirror, vowing to never return. 10 years later, my best friend's getting married, and I have to make a choice. Set foot back in Rust Canyon, where painful memories of the past lurk around every corner, or let down the only person who's always been there for me. Does that not sound like right up my alley?
She's also from Pittsburgh.
She is?
I have been coming across her a lot recently, like in my doom scrolling,
Yeah.
and they intrigue me. I
Well,
wonder from where in Pittsburgh.
I don't think she lives there anymore. Another one that I found is this is
I hope
suspense.
it
So
don't.
now we'll move to suspense. Found by him, the Nashville Security series by Sarah Evo, Evou. And this one sounded fantastic. Sure, he found me, but should he keep me? That remains to be seen. My life was officially a disaster. Like, that's the opening of the blurb. And I'm just saying, you guys, like,
Who has time to read all these? Who needs a job? I don't need a job.
I'm just telling you, like, and then I came across a new sapphic book that I'm gonna read come for sapphic summer by it's by Kate or Kat Page. It's Love in Edinburgh. Book one is a your best friend's brother. It's called Bumps in the Road, but then the second book, the sister, she gets her book. And it's sapphic and takes place in Edinburgh. I don't know, you guys.
The Sienna Trap is gonna have a mafia book
Yeah.
out in the fall. I Speaking of mafia,
Okay.
I have
Circle.
a mafia.
Circle.
Of course I do.
Yeah.
Jane Henry,
Oh.
she
Oh,
writes
yeah.
mafia. She also writes some kinky stuff. And she has a huge backlist. She has like 178 books. She had a baby a few years back, but the girl is releasing books like,
It's her job.
Yeah. And she's good. I really like her.
So back to
It
small
is her
town suspense real quick. Nyssa
job.
Catherine. I
Oh
just
yeah, that's
don't,
a good one.
I really liked her small town suspense series.
She is a really good author. I really enjoy her books a lot.
Okay, so back, what else? Like, okay, we didn't even talk about any of our
We don't need to. I'm just
points.
saying, if you like suspense, it doesn't have to be small town. Ivy Lane, I have talked about this author like
Yeah.
forever and ever and ever. She writes billionaires. They are suspense. There's a little bit of damage oftentimes, but she writes a very good book. Like this series that she's writing now, you do need to read the whole thing in order because there is an overarching storyline that like plays out throughout the series and there's two books left in it. I'm super excited.
The
But yeah,
Hearts of
she is an
Sawyer
author.
Bend.
Yeah, The Hearts of
Yeah.
Sawyer Bend.
But that one spun off of her. There's a Sinclair series, which spun off from her Winter series, which spun off from a Las Vegas series. Like they're all intertwined, but you can pretty much start in any series. And I'd say the Sinclair series, the first seven books, I think, have an overarching storyline, but it's not the way that it's set in this one. It's just like a backstory type of thing.
Also,
But she is
Jenny,
a really good author.
rude that you just stopped replying to my messages about books.
Yeah.
Rude.
Because I'm like, when am I going to read all these? I don't have time.
Nobody has time.
Karen in the YouTube chat mentions Molly McLean. I
Oh,
do like Molly
yes. Got you.
McLean.
Think of me.
And she
I
is.
had LM Hollowrun for she writes everything, suspense, dark, stars, small town. But I rarely see her like plastered anywhere.
Yeah.
And she kind of cranks out the books.
Olivia Haley is another one that I don't feel people talk about a ton. She has billionaires. She has, friend groups and stuff like that. And she's all in KU. And she has really cute covers too.
Yeah.
I will say, if you're looking for sports romance, authors that are a little underrated. Lainey Davis recently moved over to Kindle Unlimited. She's moving her Forging Glory series, and then now her newer series is over there also. They're complicated, messy family sports romance. And she is like a sports fanatic fan, so the sports is right. Like
Lainey, who's that?
Davis.
Lainey
She is
Davis.
a client of Bookcase Media, but So just,
and she lives in the Pittsburgh area.
She lives in Pittsburgh.
It's also a little nerdy.
A little?
I mean, I'm trying.
No,
she knows. She embraces it.
Okay.
Her chaos.
I'm just not gonna like.
Did you see she took her book to a chocolatier and they're doing a chocolate sampler box?
She was telling me about
to
that.
To go with the book.
You may have to send them to me because you know I'm not driving down to see you to get chocolate.
Well, she is coming to a signing up in Sandusky, Ohio, Mother's Day weekend, and she promised to bring me some chocolates, so for us to try.
You want a sports romance guy, girly?
Yeah, sure.
Samantha Whiskey. We do not talk about her enough.
We do not. Well, and PNR and vampires and urban
fantasy. She's got
fantasy.
Everything. She's got billionaires. You know, she's got it all. And I really like her. And I think she has a solid understanding of hockey. And she has like three or four series. Her Carolina series is so good. I love her concept where they live in this little community. And
her Seattle one is like that too.
I like that Seattle.
They
one too.
Basically like the like half the hockey team lives in like a plan.
Did you?
I really like.
Did
it.
You read the owner billionaire owner series that she wrote? It's the owner of the Carolina team, and his like buddies. I think made Lindsay read
the,
it.
Like poker game.
Well, and because that's how she spun off to the Bangor series too.
Yeah.
So because like the Carolina billionaire is book one, I think, and then the Bangor billionaire is the last book. So like she bookends them with the hockey, but yeah.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention our own Jocelyn Soto. She writes sports billionaire, angsty, messy people.
Messy people.
They are messy.
They are a little messy, yeah.
Okay. So
I mean, we could honestly just go on forever. As we're talking, I'm thinking of others. And I'm
what
like,
do you got?
Oh, that would be.
Okay, final round. Final book or author you think more people should read because it is 10 o'clock. So what do you got, Jenny?
Ashley Jacobs and S.S. Rich, they write together, and this is a series Becky sent me, and then I read like all three of them. Like
Becky sent, but Becky didn't read.
Yes, probably like last year, and then
I have read a few books like that.
They only have three books, and now I'm waiting. But they are really, really like for new author, like they're really good. Like. The characters connect, they make sense. It was just,
You send them a message and be like, hey, friends?
Is it possible to quit your day job?
What do you have, Heather?
I have E.M. Lindsay. They write romance, super emotional. They also often have disabled characters. And they do a phenomenal job of writing
really well.
Disability rep. They have write often deaf and hard of hearing characters. So I always send them to Jenny. And I feel like they do that very well.
I would agree. They do an excellent job at like the emotional component of being deaf or hard of hearing and like how that affects life outside.
They write co-written things that are amazing. So Nora Phoenix, they have a disabled, Wounded Warriors series. There's also a Motorcycle Club series that is people. It's really good. I've read a couple, but I really like E.M. Lindsay a lot.
Okay. Leah, what do you have?
I have a few, but I will just go with Mary B. Moore. She was off the radar for a little bit, but she has been like republishing some stuff. She does small town. There's suspense elements, like insane grandparents, like crazy antics. Like her books, I love them. Like there's bonkers setups and hijinks and shenanigans abound, and I really enjoy her books.
Another one that I came across is the Colorado Ranch series by A.R. Williams. She is writing women of color. She's an author of color, and they're on these small town ranches, and they are buttonheads with some stupid cowboys and billionaires. They're funny. They're quirky. They're also not 582 pages.
That's nice.
Well, I'm down for that.
I came across a debut book today, you guys. 582 pages. Mm-mm. And I'm like, ma'am.
I do not have time for that.
No, ma'am. No one does. Anyway, I could go on and on, you guys. This episode could be 5 hours long, to be honest, because, and, you know, I was thinking about it. The last time we kind of did this episode, we talked about, like, Maggie Gates and Lauren Rowe. And, you know, those are all authors that have had these big moments now. Jill Ramsauer. And now, you know, they're having these big moments. So it does make me feel like our community listens and says, oh, okay, like, this should be on my radar. And I just think that it's worth giving a chance. And one of the things that I did today as I was going across, because I found a couple that I read used the sample option in on Amazon and actually read, like, the first chapter that's available just to see if the writing was something that I could get into, or if it was something that I was kind of like, you know, like, if there's some major, like, grammar issues on page one, I'm probably going to struggle in that book a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So
I like to, some of these authors, I've been pulling them up and then I scroll all the way down and it says, customers also bought from these following authors. Yeah. And I really like, there's a lot of people that are popping up that I haven't read. So, finding them that way. So that Nadia Ray,
Yes, she came across my radar a couple of times.
That I've never, other authors that I've never read, that they're like, oh, people read these people. And I think there's seven authors that I've never read. So,
yeah. And I actually was, I did that too, because, like, I mean, I like Kelly Elliott, but she's one that, like, rolls series in and out of KU. And I really like her books. And she's known, she had, but it's kind of like a Carrie Elks, like, you know, if you don't talk about her, people don't know that she's there, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But
I feel like she's one of those authors that she has a good enough reader base that, like, she continually, like, like, when the book comes out, it's up, and then it kind of falls in.
So Sue in the chat says that's a podcast idea, authors we would wish that would write full time. It's really interesting that you say that, because I actually had a conversation with an author who doesn't want to write full time. She's constantly told, I wish you would write full time. I want more books out of you. And she tried for a while and it didn't work for her. She's a better author when she has.
So it became a job.
Right. And we talk about that for us too. Like my hobby became my job and now my job is my hobby.
Well, so. And I've talked to a couple authors where they got burnt out. Like, when they were trying to keep up with the demand, they burnt themselves out so much that they were like, I can't do it at this pace. And so they needed something else to kind of counteract the.
Yeah. Marie Johnston said that. She said she's slowing down her releases because
there are a lot of authors that are doing that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a great idea, but I think that there's a piece there to consider, like, why isn't that author full-time? Well,
but it's also hard to tell if an author is full-time or they just, like, are slow an writer full-time, they're a slow writer, or they...
Veronica Eden is one. She has two pen names, but she is a slow writer. She's a one book a year kind of girl because she is a slow writer. And she's a full-time writer, but she's, you know, just, it takes her time to get through her story. Well,
and like authors like Zoe York, she has multiple pen names. So like, she might not be putting out a ton of books under this pen name, but she is putting out a book in this pen name and this pen name and this pen name. So it's like, she rotates them through.
Yeah.
And not every author's pen names are out.
Right. I do think we probably are going to end up doing a second part to this, more authors we think you should read, because, you know,
we're constantly coming across new ones.
We are and we hope you'll check out some of these authors that we mentioned if you've never read them before, and we hope it inspired you to kind of start searching and looking for those new authors. Okay, so that's it for that part of the episode. Now
it's that time.
It's that time. Book of the week. Book of the week time. I noticed no one has anything listed on their list.
I got a book. I just didn't write it.
Here, I'll write them down.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Let's start with Heather. Heather, what's your book of the week?
It is Gross Misconduct by A.J. Truman. So it doesn't come out until the end of the month. It comes out on the 28th. And it is about a beer league hockey team set in Sourwood, which is where he has like all of his small towns. And so they're older older characters, and it's hockey, and it is so good. And I don't want to spoil it, but it's so good. It's a single dad. He was injured playing hockey, and then this like young buck that comes fresh from the NHL off of an injury comes to town, and I'm loving it so far. Put it down.
Well, and I can't believe you didn't mention AJ in your author. More people should read.
Because I feel like, I mean, if there's a fan club, I'm like number one, because I just love all the things he puts
out. Do feel like for Matt, for MA, for book club in May, like I told him, I said he might want to get the restraining orders out for you all. You too.
For me, for sure.
You too. Anyway, Jenny, what's your book of the week?
Mine's a good like follow-up to Heather's. I have The Shots You Take by Rachel Reed. They're both former hockey players.
Wait, this is in that Captain America Winter Soldier fandom.
Yeah, yes.
She started out writing fan fiction for Captain America and Winter Soldier and her hockey guys.
Hold on. And they're older and like former hockey.
She has to go get something. I don't know.
Okay.
I wonder
former
where
hockey
she...
players and they oh. yes. Oh, she they had it. Like a secret relationship in the past, and now they're like the one guy had a wife and kids and then realized I'm not straight, and now he's gotta fix some things.
Okay.
So I don't know if Jenny said, so I'm gonna just budge in. If the setting is almost like a third character in this book, she writes Nova Scotia so well, and you will want to go there.
Okay.
This book is so good. So good.
Leah, what's your book of the week?
So my book of the week is Fighting for Mary by Katie Rias. It's a third in New Orleans. It's suspense. It's a best friend's brother. She overheard him saying something when they were younger, and she was like, well, I hate you now, and I'm going to avoid you at all costs. And he went into the service and has moved back. Like, they grew up there. And she is a pilot. She's like a private pilot who owns her own company, which you don't often get a female pilot nice. As like the main character. So I really mm-hmm. like that. But he is also a pilot. And so they have like, he stole a client of hers. So she bought some land out from underneath him to put out like a landing strip in. And he's always had a thing for her. And he said the things that he did because he was a dumbass. And yeah, so it's very good. It's a series, but a lot of times Katie Rias, like you have the way the series play out, you kind of have to read it, but these ones are fairly standalone. It's shorter, which was nice. And I just really enjoy her books a lot. And I needed that like comfort read.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So I actually worked on outside of work stuff and reading Lilac, which we all know how I feel about that.
We won't talk about that.
We're just going to bypass that one. I really worked on my arcs through NetGalley this week because...
We've been a little bananas.
We've been a lot bananas. So I actually have two, and both books don't come out until May 6th.
It's not that far away.
So first up, I want to call me Kiss Me Maybe by Gabrielle Gomez. This is her sophomore debut. We read her book, The Next Best Fling, last August for Sip and Discuss.
Oh, so good.
And
so
messy,
this is
so
her
good.
Friend, right?
This is her friend, and it is sapphic. And it has, and I actually, I struggled getting into it because this is ace representation and a bi awakening. And I wasn't sure how this was going to work because it's a social media mishap. And the the main character, Angela, it delves into her social media aspect, and she has the bigger character arc of the two, and she's the one that identifies as Ace. And there was a lot of like talking
about dual point of view, or is it okay?
Yes, I think so. Yes,
okay, because the first book was only.
I don't know. I read a lot. Now I have to. I'll go double check. No, I don't think it. Is. I think it's single. It's single.
Did
it's
you miss
just
the other
hers.
Point of view, or does it work really
no,
well?
No, but I didn't miss like, it the last time either.
Right.
So Crystal,
I didn't miss it aside from like one or two pieces. But I was because I usually get real cranky about that. But we have been talking about this book and how like,
we have.
We're for
and
it.
I will say, like, I started it a while ago and soft put it down because I wasn't sure, you know. And this is a part of that LGBTQIA spectrum that I don't know enough about, even though like my child identifies as ace.
It's hard to understand.
And I don't. So
unless you're living it. Yeah.
So it took a minute and you know, there's a lot of talk about self pleasuring, but not partner pleasuring. And anyway, incredibly well done. I ended up really, really enjoying it. My review's over on the website. It comes out May 6th. I'm excited for everybody to get to read it. It really was a pretty a very good sophomore offering. It just takes a little bit to get into it. And then the other one that I read is Jilted by Vi Keelan. This was one of my most, like, Coming Home by Lauren Rowe was my most anticipated. This is my second anticipated because I love Vi Keelan. And when Vi Keelan gives us Wedding, we know that it's going to deliver. Oh boy, does it deliver. He falls first.
I love when she does that too.
Like but he's commitment shy, but he's like ready to be all in. And she's on a dating moratorium because she got left at the altar. And her family is a little complicated and a lot messy. And his is really complicated and a little messy. And he has history.
Yeah.
Anyway, 10 out of 10 recommend. That book should be on your radar come May 6th. So really, the May books coming
out.
Last week of April, beginning of May. There's a lot of good stuff.
Right, because we got
out.
Eloisa James book next week. And then, like, seriously, I have 17 arcs for May just off NetGalley.
Well, and we
Leah's fault.
So when we were scheduling author spotlights, we had a lot of publishers reach out and we said yes to like all of them. And then when I was looking at the release date, I think four out of the six that
are
like
May 6th.
April 29th.
Oh, April 29th.
Yeah. And okay. I think the other two were May 6th.
Yeah.
So I follow that like just boyfriend out. Calendar.
Yeah.
And it is like May, you're right. May is like
jammed. It's all those summer reads, and like I read the new Kennedy Ryan. It's the last in her Skyland series.
There's a lot of good books.
The Julia Wolf
books coming.
Oh,
Julia Wolf one
that
looks
first one in that series. Please. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. We should probably do a quick shot. Somebody needs to read it.
Yeah,
it was delightful, cozy kink. We'll go with that. Okay, so those are our books of the week. Like, we just didn't give you guys enough books. Here's some more, right? Make sure you check out our website or our Patreon where we updated our summer schedule for episodes and for book club. We've made the announcement on Patreon. We've made the announcement over on the website. We're going to kind of alter our schedule for the summer so that Becky can maybe get some control of the chaos in her life. We'll see. Make sure you're back here Wednesday for our discussion of Heartbreak and Harmony by Britt Benson, which did get started today.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm okay, just so we're all clear. And then also our swag pack sponsoring authors for April, which is this month, is author Krista Sandor and author Kaylee Ryan. And there's another author that's a little underrated in Kindle Unlimited. Kaylee Ryan, read her books. Anyway, be back here next Sunday night. I don't even know what we're talking about, but we'll be here with book recs. And for a list of books we talked about this weekend, please visit our On the Shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. If you love this episode, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Share it with your friends. Your support helps bring us more exciting content to you every week and to destroy your TBR. Thank you for joining us for this special 250th episode of Buzzing About Romance. We had the best time hyping up some must-read romance authors in Kindle Unlimited, and we hope your TBR is now overflowing with possible new favorites. Anyway, make sure you subscribe, leave a review, share it with your romance-loving bestie, you know, or me. Anyway, until next time.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.